Amen. Brought my notes. I love always saying a little bit about Lee and Jackie just to honor them. But just thinking this morning when me and Gina first met them and started speaking and talking with them, I remember meeting with them at their house and leaving there. And I was telling Gina, I said, you know what? This thing, their life in Christ, is not a vocation. It's not a job. It's who they are, what they believe, and just the faith. I said, they actually believe this healing, that God can actually change your life. He can, you know, knowing that this morning, He can change your life. He is changing your life. It's not a set of ideas. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, because it's really easy for human beings to say, if I can get these set of ideas and maybe some keys in my life, some things can change. Talking to a young man here recently, struggling with addiction, struggling in his marriage, and has been through some rehabs and different things. And it's amazing how he says, I'm looking for another counselor or another rehabilitation center. My heart just breaks. And as I began to talk to him, I said, you're not going to find some keys or ideals to change you. It's a person. It's a person of Jesus Christ. Until you realize that, you're going to continue to struggle. And so it's easy in the body of Christ as believers to say, to start looking for some ideas to help our marriage. 3 points. As Pastor Lee, what's he say? 3 points in a poem? He likes to say. Well, mine will be some points, but I hope they're points of truth. They keep me on track this morning. You remember I preached a few weeks ago, and the name of my sermon was, He Is, period, Isn't He? And we talked about being adopted. We talked about that first scripture, Bill, if we could put that up from Hebrews 11:6, just to start right into it. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And we talked about the He Is, right? What He's accomplished for us. I think that first half of that scripture is talking about our salvation. We've been adopted into the family of God. But there's a second part of that scripture, and I tell you, to be true, through the years, it's always bothered me. Because I didn't quite understand it. That He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I understand diligence. Diligence is important, right? On the job and different things. But coming to my relationship, I started realizing diligence, what's this talking about, can be, what's it mean? If I talk to each one of you about what's that mean, diligence? That He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I might get a lot of different ideas. Would you agree? A lot of different things, and it can lead to a lot of confusion. And when there's a confusion on a scripture, an ideal or principle, we just kind of lay it aside because we're not sure what to do with it. And I realize Hebrews was written to the Jewish nation. So someone said, well, he's talking about what the Jewish people should do. Well, that's not true either, because we're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to lay a little bit of a foundation, if you don't mind this morning, on diligence, because I definitely want Him to reward me. How about you? Definitely want to walk in His principles so He can reward me. Because He wants to reward His children, much more than just salvation and those different things, but a rewarding of His children. As His children, the children of God, amen, diligently seek Him. So first, laying a foundation, what I believe diligence definitely isn't. So maybe you're here this morning about what diligence is in the family of God. And looking at that scripture first, that what diligent didn't mean. So in the Old Covenant, I find this really interesting. In Joshua 22:5. So we got Joshua talking to the children of Israel about diligence. So he says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, sounds reasonable, huh? Sounds like a good idea. But did the children of Israel ever keep those commandments? It almost seems unfair, because even before Joshua laid out these principles of following Him diligently, He'll be with you if you can be diligent, laying out the law, what God's perfection. Is God perfect? He's perfect. Does He walk in perfection and truth? Amen. As we go through this, we'll see that. But the matter of the fact is they were already set up for failure. The law, even Paul says, hey, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I can't do. So the law was never, ever going to bring about a perfection or people walking in his favor or being rewarded by him. It's almost unfair because in Deuteronomy 31, if you can put that bill up, 31, 14 through 16, this is even before Joshua lays this out about diligently following him. So this is Moses before when he's getting ready to the end of his life, end of his ministry, when Joshua's going to step up and take over. So before this is even before Joshua laid that out about diligently following him, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourself at the tent of meeting, and I will commission him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of cloud stood at this entrance of the tent. The Lord said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the prostitute with the foreign gods of the land into the midst of which they are going. And they will abandon me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. So even before Joshua gives this edict of what you're to do, God had already prophesied that they could never do it. They could never do it. As a matter of fact, that law and the diligence that we think of can't be what we're talking about there. It can't be what that scripture means. Because God already told Joshua and Moses that they're not going to make it. It's a setup for failure. Whenever we think of diligence as I'm going to do this and line it up, Word of God. Is there anything wrong with reading the Word of God? No. And praying and different things. But there's got to be more to it than that being diligent. Because if it's Old Testament diligence, it didn't work. God prophesied that even before he told them, this is what you got to do to be holy. This is diligence. But it's not the diligence we're talking about in that scripture. It can't be so. It can't be so. Even when Jesus arrived on the scene, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, did they walk in some diligence? Were they diligent? Oh man, they were diligent. Very diligent. You think about the Pharisees. So let's move on. So we go from the New Covenant. Jesus arrives on the scene, right? Born of a virgin at Christmas. By the way, Merry Christmas. I did. Merry Christmas. Our Christmas service is next Sunday. 1 hour service. Meaning it'll be about an hour and 15 minutes. But it should be a shortened service. Join us if you have friends. Where I think we're going to have a time of communion again. If you can join us next Sunday for our Christmas service. Kids will be with us as well. Thank you, Sean. So anyway, the Pharisees thought that they had diligent down pat. So that the Pharisee thought what they had thought they had rules and regulations as far as following them. You think about the Pharisees, the fasting, the praying, the reading of scriptures. If the pursuit of God means there's these things, then the Pharisees and Sadducees should have been the most godly people on the planet if we're talking about diligence. Amen? Jesus, let's remind ourselves of what God, Jesus, thought about their diligence while he was on the earth. So Matthew 5:20 says, for I say to you, this is Jesus talking, for I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Diligence, but no righteousness whatsoever. He goes on, let me remind you some other things that were said. Going on to Matthew 23:13-15. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is being harsh. He's giving the truth. No sugarcoating it. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. For you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Wow. Their diligence. and what they thought diligence was. I think God's doing something this day and hour. Listen to me, folks, as we move on, that God is doing something this day and this hour to what true diligence in the body of Christ is. We like to take pride, maybe sometimes human nature is, I'm doing this, I'm accomplishing that, this is what I've done, I've got my list. But I'm telling you, it doesn't mean anything as far as what God's talking about, diligence for His body today. How do I know? From the Scripture. What the Scriptures mean. You know, I find it interesting, the jealousy, and we'll see this, jealousy was the Pharisees' big problem. Their diligence was based upon their position. I'm going after this because of my position. But they knew God nothing, not even a little bit. As Jesus laid it out, they weren't children of God. They were children of Satan, he calls them. Very diligent. But the truth of the matter is, it was just for their position. It says in Matthew 27, 17 and 18, Bill. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said, this is when, at the very end, when Jesus was ready, was after he'd been betrayed. Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that it was because of envy that they had handed him over. They're hateful, they're in their position. Something about their diligence had nothing to do with knowing God, actually, and everything about self-preservation. We know that from the Old Testament, right? It could not be the diligence. We're not talking about that in Hebrews 11:6, because the Old Testament diligence, we read it, couldn't follow it. The New Testament, when Jesus was on earth, their diligence had nothing to do with knowing God. Amen. But there is a diligence. There is a diligence. Can we talk a little bit about that? I think the second half of this scripture is all about the pursuit of God and purpose, and nothing about salvation or acceptance. If I had to put a name on this, on a title on the sermon today, it'd be The Thrill of the Pursuit. The Thrill of the Pursuit. And with everything going on today in our world and our government, we've got to make sure that we keep our eyes on Him and the thrill of the pursuit of our God. We've got to do that as a body. See, it's part of the thrill of the pursuit that other people see and say, I want what you have. And I keep saying it, I'm a patriot, I'll stand up, I've got it, by midweek I can't listen to hardly any news because I'm boiling my blood. But I don't care what party you're affiliated with, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no hope. So many people that were against Christ when He's on this earth is because He would not make the government the way that they wanted. You're not getting rid of Rome, we don't want anything to do with you. You're not the Son of God. Isn't that truth? If you're not going to release Israel the way we see it and make us in power, the Israel again, then we don't believe you're the Son of God. So remember, it's a changing of the heart of the people of this nation that's going to change our nation. Amen? As I'm more and more bold as I'm around different people, as I let my faith be expressed at such a time as this, as people are unsettled and their fear, I start to declare, hey, this is the answer. He is the answer. He is the only answer for you and your family, for provision in times of uncertainty. Do you agree with that? Amen? Amen and amen. So the fill of the pursuit. So what is the pursuit? Now, let me just mention some things. I think of the pursuit of like winning a husband or wife. You remember that pursuit? That thrill, that pursuit? Maybe some of you remember that. Or how about deepening friendships, that pursuit of deepening friendship, meaningful friendships. Or of a business venture, a pursuit of a business venture. Or making a deal work, or starting a new business, or getting that promotion. There's certain things in our life that there's a thrill. There's got to be a thrill in life, right? But there's also that thrill of the pursuit of God that lives in our lives. I think, matter of fact, that's the number one pursuit that makes everything else work out. It's not the opposite. My pursuits in the world, and then I add a little bit of God. No, Jesus is the center of our life, and then we'll see he gives us the desires of our heart. We're going to look at that this morning. So let me mention this first as we talk about the pursuit. Paul's pursuit, number one, I'll get it out. Paul's pursuit was hindsight. So I'll read the scripture, explain. It says, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Understanding first this pursuit that we win. Paul, looking at the end, he said, look, I have fought the good fight. There is a reward for me. Heaven. Seeing him face to face. Just going from this, let me just say about the pursuit right now that we win in Jesus' name. There is a reward for you. He's kept it for you. We will see him face to face. Let that be settled in your heart if you know him as your personal Savior, as you pursue him. If your pursuit is still trying to find him, to please him, then you're on that wrong track. That's actually what got the Pharisees and Sadducees off the wrong track, looking for these things for some approval, but it took them so far off track. So knowing that if you know him as your personal Savior, you win, and that's where we start saying, we win. It can take a load off your back when you know that you have your adoption papers. Amen? Remember that? So the first thing in the pursuit is, man, I am his. Let that be settled. If you're not settled you can be his child by the shed blood of the Jesus on the cross, let that happen today. Let that be finally settled in your heart that he loves you, that he shed his blood, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. No one comes into the family of God but through his blood. Has his blood washed your sins away? Are you going to see him whether he comes again or you draw your last breath? When you draw that last breath, are you going to see his face? I am. When that's settled in your heart, the pursuit starts from there. If it doesn't start there, then it's on a wrong track. It has to start right there. Because if it doesn't start there, then it's on a pursuit or a track of works. And there's no thrill in that. It becomes tiring. There's no assurance. But when you start with where Paul says, I fought the good fight, man, there's a reward for me. It's waiting for me and it's waiting for you. Then you can have that confidence. You can take that breath and say, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? The pursuit of what he has for you. This is one thing I believe, that he has something for every believer. I know at 1 Peter 4, 8 says that he's given each one of us gifts to serve one another, the body. It says to manage that gift. And I tell you what, if I can say something about managing that gift, it's something for the body, and it could be outside the body. It's just find a place where you're serving people. It's just serving people. Any gifts you have, it's all about serving people. Nothing about being served, right? It's about serving others, our gifting. There's something. So don't worry about that. You just start out saying, Lord, I'm yours. I want to pursue you. And during those times, he'll open up things that we're going to see in the scripture, give us the desires of our heart, and we'll be a benefit to one another. Amen? So the pursuit is sweet when you know the end game. So when we talk about this word diligently, so I look it up in the Greek. And there's a few things here, points I wanted to mention. I think it's powerful. Number one is it means investigate. I think we're at a time in the body of Christ as a reinvestigation of the word. You think of the word investigate, it means I'm looking for something. And what's the good thing is he wants to reveal things to us. So I go to Acts 17:11, where the first thing what diligent means, it means investigate. So Paul was in with the Bereans, and it says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I just wanted to mention, just a reminder, that the word of God is true. The word of God has everything we need as far as truth. Jesus was the word, and became flesh and dwelt among us. The Spirit of God lives in us, so we can expect that the word of God, things are going to jump out of the pages and become life to us. He wants to do that. An investigation of the word to reveal his truths to us. That's where it begins, an investigation. But it's not an investigation unto works to please him, but an investigation unto, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Do you believe that it's not We don't check out the words just to say, well, we got the this promise, that's true. But Jesus Christ is a person. He's revealing himself to us. Amen. We're seated with him in heavenly places, right? It says in Colossians 3. We can expect, if his spirit lives in you, Lord, show me things in your word. I don't want to be diligent as in looking in the word because that's what's required of me. That's what you would expect from me, Lord. That's what I need to do. I need to be in the word. But gosh, Lord, if I'm going to be pleasing to you, the first thing is I should be looking into this word. And then if we're not careful, we're doing it for the wrong reason. It's a relationship. The word is to reveal him to us, who he is. He's a person. He's God. When I say he's a person, revealing his character, his love, speaking to our hearts as an individually and as a body, investigating him. The Bereans were investigating. What are you saying? Is what you're saying true, Paul? These things you're telling about him, are these true? We're investigating it. We want to know. Investigating the word. Lord Jesus, today and this day and hour, let your people again investigate your word to know you afresh and anew. Not just something we heard from a sermon. That's something we just heard at Bible school or on TV. But Lord, you want to reveal things to me personally. Personal relationship. Amen. Things that excite me. The thrill of the pursuit. Amen. If his spirit lives in us, if he quickens us, that means his word will quicken us. He wants to be powerful in our life, speaking to us, giving us confidence. And you can see the opposite when we're talking about the investigation, because in Acts 17:5, when it says they were more noble than the Thessalonians, it says, but the Jews becoming jealous, there's that word again, interesting, and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. Have we seen some cities in an uproar, by the way? Yeah. Find that interesting. There were some cities in an uproar when Paul would preach. Formed a mob and set the city in an uproar, and they attacked the house of Jason and were seeking to bring them out to the place. They didn't want to hear it. We're going to have a mob. We're getting rid of these guys. There's going to be people. We have people that do not want to hear the word of God today. Don't want to hear the truth. It's foolishness. We want to follow science. That's from a movie. Yeah. But there's going to be people whose ears and eyes are going to be open to him. Lord, thank you for doing that. People who are like searching. That what I used to do, the things that I was comfortable just living my life, it's unsettled now. That my feet are on sand. They're not on a solid rock. That people's eyes will be open to see what? The solid rock. Amen? Amen. So we see that they were diligent looking for him, is which, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They were looking to the word to see if those things were so. Investigate. Lord, thank you for a heart of investigation. Man, to him to reveal himself to us. Do you believe that today? That's the bedrock, the word of God. Number two, a craving. As we investigate, as he's revealing himself, a wonderful thing is there's a craving for the word of God that begins to develop. I think there's this place I was thinking of craving in Texas. I don't remember where, but if you ate this 72 or 84 ounce steak, you got it for free. Big. I think it was a porter. I don't know what kind of steak it was, but it was huge. And if you got that steak, if you ate that steak, it was yours free if you lived. One thing about, you know, in the natural things that we do, you eat, you can eat till you're full, till you push away from the table and say, no more, right? I'm done. I give up. But you know, the Word of God says that as we begin to investigate and he reveals himself, there's actually a craving, a more of a hunger that begins to develop in you and I. A craving for the Word of God. It says, Psalms 84:2 says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That was the thing about David, is he understood, if you read Psalms 40, he says, man, you don't desire these burnt offerings. He says, my ears have been pierced. He says, you've opened my ears and my eyes. I see you who's to come in the Word. And as he began to do that, he had a craving, he said, for the Word of God. As a matter of fact, he says in Psalms 119, 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I can tell you, as you start looking for him in the Word of God, number one, as you begin to investigate, you will develop a craving for his Word, a love for his Word. The Scripture says that. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for a fresh love of your Word today. The diligence is out of love, out of a pursuit, the thrill of the pursuit of him. Amen? Craving. And what I love, the next thing is we're talking about what this diligence means. The next thing, and you've heard, if you've been around here for long, you've heard it means demand. What kind of demand? What's demand mean? What does it mean here? Ask with proper authority. Claim as a right. We can put a demand on his Word. We have the confidence. Once that craving, once that Word of God, we see his promises. We see them not just as little lines that we say, but we see them as Jesus Christ, the person, him as a person who cares for us. We put a demand on his Word. The promises of God are yes and amen. We put a demand on his Word. You shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. It becomes something that is real. Lord, you heal me, our healer. You think of all the, I'll never leave you, forsake you. So as the Word, we become confident in his Word, we can put a demand on that Word. God wants us to. Many times things don't happen because we don't put a demand on his Word. Amen? As Paul says, they can't get saved because they don't hear the Word. They can't hear because there's not a preacher. Someone's stepping out, right? And the Word of God's heard. So we're at a point now, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for an investigating of the Word. Revealing. We thank you for a love, a fresh love in your church for the Word. And then number three, Lord, that we start making demands and declaring the promises of God as he begins to do miracles in our midst. We won't be running from any sicknesses. We'll be laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. Does that sound foolish to your ears? But that's what the Word declares. I know that there's a problem, or I have to, when I hear things that are biblical, that are truths, they seem a little foolish in my heart. You ever been there? And Lord, help me. That little area, that area of unbelief or hardness. Lord, I don't want that. I'm investigating your Word. There's a craving and love for your Word. There's a demand for your Word. And after that is where we have some true worship in our midst. I find it interesting, like Jesus, the blind man, one of the blind men where he put mud on his eyes, right? And he went and washed. And then what did he do? He came back and worshiped the Lord. Came back and worshiped him. Came back and worshiped him. I think of some other situations. When did the children of Israel worship God? Before or after he opened the Red Sea? After. You ever heard that song, Miriam, get your timbre out, sing and dance and shout about? Exhort the men to shout the victory. Maybe. That wasn't me. Piano? Okay. Woo! Well, I sound like the Lord knocking on. Hello? Anybody home? We're home, Lord. We hear you. But I think, yeah, after that demand, words were worship. True worship. Thank you, Lord, as we see what you've done, the miracles that you're doing in our lives, Father God, where the houses of worship around the country to explode in worship. Amen? Worshiping him for what he has done. We thank you, Father God, that a time of worship in your house is going to break loose like never before. A football game won't have anything over us. We'll be so excited about what God is showing us and doing in our midst. He wants to do that. He's going to do that. I'm going to be in a body here where he is doing that. How about you? I'm going to put a demand on his Word. I'm going to see him do great things. I'm going to worship him with all my heart, with all my soul. And then the next part that I want to talk about is, it also means seek. Seek after. And when I talk about seek after, I'm talking about purpose, purpose, purpose. And I told you, mentioned a young man about the rehabilitation, drug rehabilitation. And it's interesting, if you go into like a rehabilitation, for addictions, it's like 5 or 6% are going to make it, are going to get clean. Isn't that, that's heartbreaking. And as I've thought about that, prayed about that, I realized that for so many people, we were born with purpose. I said, we got to teach purpose, and it's only through Jesus Christ. If people understood purpose, they'd come out of addiction. Sometimes the things that have happened in people's lives, their background, the hurts, the pains, they call it traumas. I was listening to a study that Arizona did through the governor. They were talking about different traumas that can happen to people as they're growing up, kids. And the more traumas they've had in their life, the more, the higher the percentage of those become get involved in addiction. To cover up pain, hurts. Because what it really comes down to is, I don't have a purpose. People need a purpose. If these places taught Jesus, there would be a purpose. So when you are just saying, just quit doing this, quit doing this, but there's no purpose, you just go back. But when you got purpose and a goal, and Jesus has put something in your heart, you can lay those things aside because I got purpose. So Father, we thank you for purpose in your house today. Purpose in everybody who hears right now, Lord, that you would, through these steps of truths, Lord, we thank you once again for investigation in the Word. Amen. An investigation of the Word as you reveal yourself with purpose. Amen. As we begin to have a craving, inner craving, that love for the Word of God. As we begin to put a demand on His Word because we believe in what we're reading is a part of us. As Jesus became the Word and dwelt among us. As we see God doing things. As worship breaks out in your house. Authentic worship. Not worshiping to get Him to do something, but worshiping Him because of what He has done. Amen. Because of what He has done, true worship. And then after that, seeking purpose, God begins to reveal and open up purpose. I'm going to go through these last few minutes we're together through Psalms, one scripture at a time, Psalms 37, 1 through 8. 37, 1 through 8. So this last one, as far as diligent, part of diligent, is that seeking Him means purpose, seeking a purpose, right? You guys believe in purpose? I sure do. The older I've gotten, the more I'm saying, God, what is your purpose? He gives us the desires of our heart, but He's changed my desires in the last 11 years. Like, man, they're not even the same. I think a lot of those, as we grow in Him, our purposes change. We start seeing things in it. Their eyes eternally, eternal focus. You know that scripture says everything you can see is temporal. Everything you can't see is what? Eternal. I start looking at people as somebody that Jesus died for. Not just a tool for business or whatever it is, but seeing them as how much worth they have. Psalms 37, 1 through 8, the first scripture says, do not get upset because of evildoers. Listen to this one today, guys. Do not get upset because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. Can't compare ourselves to others. We can't focus on, we're fighting a fight. I understand patriots, but that cannot be our focus. You won't be in peace at all. You still got a purpose for each one of us. I can't do anything on the national scene, but I'm doing my best as far as on the local scene. That's through Jesus. Jesus is the answer for this nation. So when I'm talking with people and everything, my focus is no longer on what is your political affiliation. Do you know Jesus? Because if you know Jesus, He's the one that He'll change your heart and political affiliation, whatever that means, right? Do you agree with that today? You need to remind yourself of that today. I've said it before when I've been up here. I have some friends that agree with me all the way down the line politically until I mention Jesus. They're lost. They're hopelessly lost. They got a pride in self-righteousness. That's dangerous. Let us not be a people. The church has got to be careful we don't get fooled into that. Your affiliation is with your belief in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we're patriots and all that, but it comes down to Christ, because it goes, it's an eternal thing with people. An eternal thing with people. Amen. So don't get upset because of evildoers. Verse 2. They will wither quickly like the grass and decay like the green plants. So let's not allow ourselves to become short-sighted. John Harrison, we were talking this morning, my danger is just becoming short-sighted. You know, looking at this like this is going to go on forever. It isn't. I don't know how long. But I know who the creator of heaven and earth is. I know Satan is a god of this world, little g. He's a little g. But he answers to the big G. Does he not? And he answers pretty much through you and I with our authority. Standing up. He has given you and I authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Amen? That's the enemy. So not being short-sighted. There's an end date, an expiration date for all evil in this world. There's an expiration of evil even in this country, I believe. I don't know how it works out, but I'm trusting and following him. I'm not going to be short-sighted. I don't know what's going to be like in 4 years or 8 years. He does. Keep pressing. Pursuing. The thrill of the pursuit, Lord. You're showing me things. You're putting things in my heart. You're blessing me. You're doing restoration in my family, in my marriage, in my home. The thrill of the pursuit. Amen. Verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness. Regardless of what is going on around us, trust him. The most important aspect of pursuing God is cultivating faithfulness. The best marriages or relationships are faithfulness, aren't they? Your best friends are those that are faithful to you. I want to cultivate a heart of faithfulness. We need that faithfulness that you can, like even in this church, that you can depend on me. I'm not perfect, but I'm faithful. Faithful to the house of God. Faithful to encourage people. Faithful to pursue him. If anything we need to see in this country, I think right now, is faithfulness. It's like nothing. Faithfulness. I always think of people who've been called or felt called to the ministry, but they won't be faithful to a group of people that will know them, to rub shoulders with them. They don't understand why they're not being used, because there's never any cultivation of faithfulness. Father, this day and this hour, we thank you for faithful people cultivating, planning by faith, not letting offense take them out. Offense is the thing that'll take you out. Lord, thank you for where it talks about 1 Peter 4, it says, forgive each other, it says, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. You can forgive me and I can forgive you because of a love for one another, not allowing to be tripped up. Continue to be faithful to one another. Does that make sense? Amen? That you can count me, that I get to know you, you get to know me, vice versa. Look at your best friends. Don't you cultivate faithfulness? You can depend on them. Did that happen overnight? No, it can take years. Let's continue to cultivate faithfulness with one another. Amen? Amen. And as we're cultivating faithfulness, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. I love this scripture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Your attitude is everything. That's a choice, delight yourself. I don't always feel delightful. How about you all out there? But learning as I'm cultivating faithfulness, trusting him, saying, Lord, I'm delighting myself in you. Man, you're leading me. You're guiding me. I'm putting demand on your word. You're revealing yourself to me. Man, Father God, thank you. I choose this morning to follow you. Lord, I choose my attitude. Isn't it? You ever seen somebody? Is it good to be around somebody with a stinky attitude? No, but something about my attitude when I choose to delight myself in him. That's remembering his promises, knowing he's got my back. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path in a dark world. He's leading and guiding you and I. And we can delight about our attitude. I don't know about you, but I want to delight myself in him. I'm learning to delight myself in him. Understanding that faith means confidence. Lord, I'm confident in you. I'm believing what your word says about me. Sometimes I don't quite understand. I'm still delighting myself in you. When I trip and fall down, I get up. His mercies are new every morning. If you have a bad week, it's a new morning. It's a new afternoon. It's a new evening. His mercies are new toward you. Are you his child? That's the key. Amen. Delight yourself. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Believe God is leading your life no matter the circumstances. He will give you the desires of your heart as you cultivate that faithfulness, as you're trusting him. Commit your way to the Lord, meaning let him lead you and guide you. Who's that example of, you can't, it was difficult, who kind of did his own thing, was Abraham, right? Committing his way, but he decided, well, we haven't had a child. So he had a child out of wedlock, right? Had an Ishmael. You've heard that, an Ishmael. An Ishmael, Ishmael to this day has been a thorn in the side of Israel all these thousands of years. Now, God loves them. We've got a great move of God through the Muslim world in the Middle East, people coming to Christ. It's amazing. We don't hear about it, but if you study it out, there's a move of God in the Middle East that's powerful. So God is saving the descendants of Ishmael left and right. Commit your way to him. Verse 6. I love this. It says, these are the promises. It just kind of goes down line upon line, precept upon precept. It says, he will bring out your righteousness, right? We've committed our way to him. We delight ourselves in him. He will bring out your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. You will mature in your relationship and your wisdom will increase. Now just walk with him day by day. His promises, as we're delighting in him, he's going to continue to let your righteousness, the truth, your confidence, your wisdom is going to increase day by day. How about you? I believe that with all my heart. Jesus, we thank you for wisdom. Maybe you need wisdom. There's something in your life now saying, Lord, thank you for wisdom. I'm trusting you. Your word promises you'll give me wisdom. Now, it's not always microwave fast wisdom, right? Sometimes you're left scratching your head for a little bit, but he promises he'll give you wisdom in that situation. Ask him. Commit your way. Don't pull an Ishmael, just go on another track, say, I'll figure it out myself. Be mature enough in the Lord that you wait on him and trust him. I remember when I was younger. Do you guys remember when you were younger, in the 20s? I know God's real, but I want to do it myself. I want to do it my way. Didn't always work out. But as we mature in him, as we grow in him, we wait on him and we say, Lord, thank you for wisdom, direction in our jobs, what the Lord have us to do as far as unto him, our purpose. As we are delighting ourselves with him, as the thrill of the pursuit, he promises wisdom. Do we need wisdom in this day and age? Yes. Like never before? Yes. Well, who made wisdom? The Word of God says he made Jesus to be wisdom itself. He lives in me. He lives in you. We can expect that wisdom. Thank you for wisdom in your people today, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for wisdom in your people, Father God. They will not be fooled by the things that are going on around us. We're not going to allow ourselves to be carried away with resentment, bitterness, or anger. It's easy. But that we could shine the light of the gospel to people in a dark, dark world. Is it a dark world? So I can shine the light. There'll be some that will be repelled by it. And there'll be others that are going to be drawn by it. Amen? But there's going to be others that will be drawn by it. Amen, Father. Amen. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not get upset. And here we go again. He says it again. He kind of sandwiches it at the beginning and towards the end here. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not get upset because of one who is successful in his way, because of the person who carries out wicked schemes. We still have to enjoy the pursuit. Enjoy the journey. We got to walk in peace, even with everything going on. Even with everything going on. Father God, thank you for that inner compass. That inner compass, Lord, that we can enjoy the peace, Lord, that you're going to bring it about, regardless of what's going on in the world. We think sometimes, if we're not careful, it says, well, things have got to be perfect, and everything's got to be perfect in the government, perfect in my family, in my area, before I can pursue things for you. That's not true. Right? We're waiting for things to be lined up and be straightened out. We're pursuing Him. There's still purposes being done in our lives. Maybe more than ever. Maybe more than ever. Rest, I'm going to read that again. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not get upset because of one who is successful in his way, because of the person who carries out wicked schemes. Wicked schemes. Verse 8. And it says, here's another scripture. It says, cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not get upset. It leads only to evil doing. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't become restless. Don't allow yourself to just be in a constant restlessness with what we're dealing with now. Allow Him to lead you with peace. Let Him give you the wisdom for how you're to fight this deal we're dealing with the government, with people, your friends, your family. Amen. I've noticed this. I've just started pointing, declaring Christ, that my family's been coming to me and asking me more questions. They see I've got some rest and some peace and some confidence. As I stand up, do I stand up for the unborn? Absolutely. Do I stand up for traditional marriage? Absolutely. But those people who don't, only Jesus is going to change their heart. Making laws is not going to keep from people having backroom abortions. It's not going to keep people from living in ungodly lifestyles. The only thing that's going to do that is Jesus. As we stand up for the truth. Amen. But Lord, we thank You again this morning. As the worship team comes, Father, we thank You for revealing in Your word that we are pursuing You. That pursuit, free from that anger, that peace. Lord, thank You. Maybe this morning you're thinking, you know what, I've been reading His word, but it's kind of been maybe for the wrong reason. Or maybe you haven't been reading His word. But I want to tell you that He wants to reveal Himself to you. That's where the answers are. It's amazing. I go back to people will want to give me three points how I can better this situation with my addiction or my marriage. And I'll start pointing to Christ. And it's like this thing just, the answer just all of a sudden, that's not what I want to hear. Give me 3 points. And I'm just praying, Lord, open their eyes. It's really simple. Come to Christ. Now, it's interesting. I'll have some people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus and this and that, but they don't delve into the person. He's the one that breaks addiction. Amen? He's the one that heals relationships, the person. Lord, I thank You as Your church begins to reinvestigate Your word, like the Bereans, looking at it and saying, is this so? Maybe some of us need to go back and look at the word and say, is this so, Lord, that You would reveal Yourself to us? Not just having, okay, I'm going to command this mountain to be plucked up and thrown into the ocean, and if I don't doubt, it'll happen. And then before you know it, becomes just it's weird. It's almost like, it's not different than someone casting a spell. It's just some words saying, okay, Lord, do Your magic. But it goes much more than that. It's the person of Him inside our heart giving us confidence. Amen. Well, we thank You for a fresh confidence in Your body today. A fresh confidence as you reveal Yourself to us, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we investigate Your word, Lord, as a craving, a new hunger for His word. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a new hunger for and craving for the things of God and His word in this hour. How about you? You know, the wonderful thing is He wants to accomplish that in us. He wants to accomplish that in us and put in a demand on His word. Father God, thank You. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Yes.
Breaking fetters and chains in the name of Jesus. That shroud being removed from people, from your children, grandchildren, our friends, our family, so that we talk to them. That shroud doesn't just go like this, but it actually removed. And people come into a true knowledge of Christ as addictions and bondages are broken and people have a purpose. Father, we thank You for the purpose of the body of Christ in America, afresh and anew in this day and age, Father God. People having fresh dreams and visions and purpose in their lives, regardless of their age. Do you agree with that? A fresh passion in our lives for something in your life. God opens those doors. Cultivate faithfulness. Amen. With one another, as we get to know one another, Father, as we see each other in the house of God, if this is your body, as we get to know one another, as God will begin to open up some kind of platform for you. It could be in the business world, it could be on your job, who knows what it is? Who knows what it is? But I know one thing, that he gives you the desires of your heart, and as we grow closer to him, I notice my desires have changed. Amen?
Yes.
He changed it. The things that I was struggling with, all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. I don't know when it changed. I don't know what had happened. But all of a sudden I'll say, hey, that, I'm not struggling with that anymore.
Amen. That's awesome.
As we pursue him. Can we stand up together? If you don't mind, can we just lift our hands and say, Father, we thank you for the thrill of the pursuit. Maybe let the Lord just realign some things. What are you pursuing? Sometimes you don't have to be doing anything. I'm not saying you have to be doing something. Just start that process, Lord. What am I pursuing? Lord, I so want you to reveal yourself to me afresh and anew. You're a person, not a set of ideas. Lord, maybe it's become a set of ideas, or point one through point ten of, if I can do these things, maybe these things I'm struggling with will be broken. But I tell you, if you just look to him, he's the breaker of chains. He's the healer of relationships. Lord, we thank you. Those shrouds, Lord, in the name of Jesus, those shrouds are ripped off in the name of Jesus. Those lies of Satan, the enemy, we rebuke them in the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you, Father, for hearing your voice this day, this hour, afresh and anew through your word. Lord, we thank you that as we look at your word and we investigate, we say, Lord, what do you want to show me? Lord, what do you want to show me? As we say those things in our heart, Father God, we thank you that the word becomes to open up words jump off the page into our hearts. As the person, the Logos word, begins to become real to us. Father God, as Jesus Christ becomes real, it quickens our hearts. And then, Lord, a craving in our hearts for the word, a fresh and new Lord. Lord, I love getting in your word. Now I love getting in your word. And as we love to getting in this word, we have confidence to put a demand on his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Rebuking the enemy, seeing the promises of God. Lord, as you put fresh dreams and visions and goals in our lives, I don't know about you, Lord, I thank you for fresh dreams and visions for each one. I don't care of your age. Maybe you say, Lord, thank you for fresh vision, fresh dreams, or even a little calibration, a little changing. Lord, we thank you for that, God. Purpose, a passion for life. We thank you for a passion for life. It's a passion for life that people look at and say, what do you have? What do you have? Because I want it. He gives us passion. Lord, we thank you for fresh dreams and passions. How about you? I'm going to walk in them. How about you? This church is going to walk in them in Jesus' name. Purposes. Can't be just a Pastor Lee show. He's just one person.
That's right.
But as people follow their dreams and visions in their heart, it forms a church. Each ligament. Some people the toe. Some people a thumb. An earpiece, an eye, a mouth, forming a body. We thank you for that, God. Totally fulfilled in Christ. Lord, thank you. Those things where we feel inadequate or not fulfilled, or there's something missing. It doesn't have to be that way. I'm not saying we don't go through struggles. But things don't happen that we've got to overcome. We're keeping our eye on him. The thrill of the pursuit. Lord, we thank you for the thrill of the pursuit this morning. We thank you for it, Lord. We're pursuing you. You're doing things in our lives in our midst. Those things it talks about in Hebrews that weigh us down. When you have a pursuit, when you have goals and dreams that God puts in your heart, you're willing to lay off those weights. You do that. But when you don't have any passion for something, you just carry those weights. It's just human nature. But when he begins to excite our hearts with purpose, we say, I'm going to cast, that is getting in my way. That's that 50, 80 pound pack. I can't walk. That's what it's saying. But I have a goal. I have something in my heart I'm going towards. I'm going to cast that off because he's already washed my sins away. He's washed my sins away. I'm laying aside that addiction. I'm laying aside that addiction because I want the confidence to pursue what he has for me. I'll never forget when I gave up cigarettes. The last thing I said, I love cigarettes. I probably would to this day. I can't help it. I'm sorry. But it's nothing. I'm not saying anything, whether you smoke or whatever. But as I started thinking, God saying, Lord, I need a plan because I just love smoking. Struggled with addiction for many years of different types. And I kept waiting for him to just like this. Ooh,
it's gone.
It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. I was waiting for that craving to go away, but it didn't. And then I felt God put, I said, you know, I'm going to try the patch. So I started putting the patch on, you know, and I quit smoking. But I got mad at God. I said, you didn't help me. I did this on my own. And then kind of got upset saying, you know, I thought you would just supernaturally deliver me. And I spent some time upset about that, quit smoking. But then he reminded me, all of a sudden reminded me, he said, you tried the patch like 3 years ago and you failed. You took a step. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason why I took that step is I just wanted more purpose. I didn't want anything that would take from my confidence. Not my salvation. Nothing to do with my salvation.
That's right.
My confidence in Him.
Yeah.
My confidence. Lord, I'm just praying for things right now. Things that maybe you love us. Things that are maybe we're hanging up that are taking, sapping our confidence. Father, give us, let us see you afresh and anew. Let us lay those aside. Lay us aside as a people of God. Laying those heavy weights aside in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And with confidence going forward. See, I had to have a purpose before I was ready to, where I was willing to lay it down. I had to have a purpose. And I said, Lord, I want a confidence for whatever you have for me. I laid that down. That booger down 10 years ago. Thank you, Lord. Never looking back. How about you, Lord? We thank you for things today, laying things down and going forward and never looking back. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him despised his shame. See, he saw what he was going to accomplish. I'm going to have a people unto myself. He's able to accomplish it because he had a purpose. So again, purpose in the house. Purpose. It won't happen until there's a purpose in your heart. But we thank you for purpose this morning. This afternoon, as you speak to your people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace.